This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisavoy, and the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy deals with the law of Bikurim. The rule of Bikurim is that after the land was conquered and divided, means after the 14 years that we go into the land, farmers were required to take the first ripened fruit of the seven species that the Torah blessed Eretz Yisrael to the temple and present them to the Kohen. And part of the ritual of the Kohen is to make a declaration of gratitude to Hashem for His role of protecting us throughout Jewish history. Our shir today will be focused on the beginning of this declaration, which you could find on chapter 26, pasuk number 5. There it's written that after the Kohen takes the basket of fruits from the hand of the giver, he puts in front of the Mizbeach of Hashem, and then pasuk says, Ve'onisa Ve'omarta, you should call out and say. Rashi says Vanisa is a language of a Ramas coil that you have to give in a loud voice. Ve'omarta, you should say Lifnei Hashem Elokecha, in front of Hashem your God. Arami Oived Avi, the simple interpretation, an Aramin tried to destroy my father. Urshirash explains that's referring to Lavan Ho'arami, Laban the Aramin, the father-in-law of Yaakov and the brother-in-law of Yitzchak. And by the way, that's what also we say in the Haggadah of Pesach, that Lavan Bikesh Lakor Es Hakol, that Lavan tried to destroy everything. And the proof that the Haggadah brings is from this pasuk that says, Arami Oivet Avi, that an Aramean tried to destroy my father, which means Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov. We will soon explain where do we see that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov. The pasuk continues, Vayered Mitzrayma, he went down to Egypt. Vayagar Shom Bimsei Me'ad, he sojourned there few in numbers. Vayi Shom Legoy Gadol, he was there for a big nation. Otsum strong, Verav and numerous. Now we are going to start analyzing this pasuk. The pasuk starts Ve'onisa Ve'omarta. Normally the word Ve'onisa means that you should answer. But here, since nobody is asking any question, then obviously there is no sense to write down that you should answer. Rashi says that here the word Ve'onisa Ve'omarta means that you should say it in a loud voice. In the same way that in Iyuv is written there on chapter 3, Vayan Iyuv, that Iyuv answered, which means that he screamed to Hashem in a loud voice. And Rashi brings a source for this, the pasuk later on in Devarim, chapter 27, pasuk number 14, where the pasuk says there, V'anu halavim v'omru el kol ish Yisrael koiram, that the levim answered, which means they said in a loud voice. So you see there, it's written Ve'anu, that they spoke, and it's written Bekol Ram, in a loud voice. That shows that anywhere it's written the term Ve'inisa or Ve'anu or Ve'inisem means in a loud voice. That's Rashi's source, that you require to do it in a loud voice. In truth, the Gemara uses this Gzeres Shaveh, that here it's written the word Ve'onisa, and there it's written by the Levim Ve'anu. The Gemara in Soite, the Aflamet Beis, Omed Alev, brings that in the same way that the Levim spoke in Lashon Kodesh, in the Holy Tongue, so too, when a person came to the temple and he brought the Bikurim, he was required to say the declaration that are mentioned in this Psukim only in Lashon Kodesh, only in the Holy Tongue, and he couldn't use a translation to say those words. The Sifri brings this idea, and the Sifri continues that in the beginning, a person who knew how to speak Lashon Kodesh, the Holy Tongue that the Torah was given in, which is a debate if that is Ivrit or not, therefore I'm referring it as Lashon Kodesh, that originally, when the person brought Bikurim, he used to speak in Lashon Kodesh, and the person who didn't know how to speak Lashon Kodesh had somebody who spoke, and he repeated the words of the person who spoke. In other words, you have a rabbi or a kohen saying the words in Lashon Kodesh, and the person bringing the Bikurim repeated word by word, because it is a requirement that it be said in Lashon Kodesh. The Sifri continues that people started to get embarrassed. People that didn't speak Lashon Kodesh were embarrassed to have somebody there saying the words and he repeat, and consequently they stopped bringing Bikurim. The rabbis decided at that point that everybody that brings Bikurim is required to have an interpreter standing next to him, that even if he spoke Lashon Kodesh, he would still be required to repeat after the person who gave him, who prompted him the words, in order not to embarrass the person who didn't speak Lashon Kodesh. And the Sifri says that the source the rabbi found to do this is from the pasuk Ve'anisa Ve'amarta, that you have to repeat and say, you have to answer. You could only answer if somebody prompts you with a statement. The rabbis use this pasuk as an asmachta, as an reliance that their decree was right, from the fact that the Torah chose the word Ve'anisa, which could be interpreted as answered, which means that a person should repeat after. Devin Ezra, on his first interpretation, says that from the fact they write down Ve'anisa, Ve'amarta, that you should answer and say Arami Yoivet Avi, from here it could be that we learn that the Kohen is supposed to ask the person who brings Bikurim, why did you bring Bikurim? And on that question, this person who brought Bikurim answers and says Aram Yoivet Avi and the rest of the Parsha. And the whole idea of asking the question could be, it's the same idea that we do in a Pidyon HaBen. When we redeem our firstborn son, we also have the Kohen ask the question for the person, what do you prefer? You prefer to redeem your son, or you prefer to give me your son? Even though, obviously, the Kohen doesn't get to keep the son, even if the father doesn't redeem his son, but the whole idea is to be mechabev, to make the mitzvah beloved to you, to make the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen, of redemption of the firstborn son, important. Therefore, could be that the Torah is hinting Ve'onisa ve'omarta, that you should answer and say, which means that Torah is hinting that the Kohen is supposed to ask, what are you doing by bringing the Bikurim? Why did you decide to bring the Bikurim? And then he has to say Arami Oivet Avi and the rest of the Parsha. The Zohar HaKadosh, brought down by Tzora Mor, says that Ve'onisa comes from the word Loisane Bereyecho Eit Shoker. You should not testify falsely on your friend. The words that are in the Aseres HaDibros on the Ten Commandments on Parshas Yisroi, chapter 20, pasuk number 13. And he says Ve'anisa is a language of testifying. That Ve'anisa, you should testify. Ve'amarta, you should say. And the testimony is Arami Oivet Avi, that throughout generations they try to kill us, they try to destroy us, but in the end Hashem gives us the land, and we're grateful for Hashem protecting us throughout all history. Now we continue to the next statement, Arami Oivet Avi, which I mentioned Rashi says that it's referring to Lavan Arami, Lavan the Aramean, who tried to destroy my father. The question is, where do we see that Lavan tried to destroy Yaakov? Rashi refers back to chapter 31 of Bereishis, pasuk number 22, where Lavan is chasing after Yaakov to kill him. Hashem comes to him on pasuk 24 and says, Yishom Elecha, be very careful, pentadabarim Yaakov, mitoiv adra, don't speak to Yaakov from good to bad. And we know that Lavan really wanted to kill Yaakov, because Lavan himself says on pasuk number 29, Yesh le'el yodi lasoiz imochem ra, that the God in my hand I could do bad, But Velokei Avichem Emes, the God of your father, came to me yesterday and told me not to do anything from good to bad, meaning that I tried to do something bad to you, to kill you, but the God of your father did not let me. Rashi explains, if that is true, how come it's written, Oyved Ovi, destroy my father? He actually did not destroy Yaakov, he only wanted to destroy Yaakov. Rashi answers that by the nations of the world, Hashem views their intent to do evil as actually they did the evil. Therefore it's written, Arami Oyved Ovi, that Aramean had already destroyed my father. Not that he wanted to destroy my father, that he actually destroyed Yaakov and he's punished, or he'll be punished as he would have done the deed because of his intention. But that is only by a non-Jew, then Hashem counts their bad thoughts as an action. But the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Omed Alef, brings down that by a Jewish person, Machshavara Eina Kodesh Baruch Hu Metzarf Lemasa, that for a Jewish person, Hashem does not count his bad thoughts as it would have been an action. And the Gemara brings a posuk in regard to that. The Maharal asks a question, what is the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew? Why by a Jew we say that bad thoughts is not considered an action, and by a non-Jew bad thoughts are considered an action? And the Maharal answers based on the Rambam, that the Rambam explains the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Davov Omed Alef. The Gemara there explains that what is written on Vayikra, chapter 1, Pasuk number 3, says, when you promise a sacrifice, says, Yakriv Oisoi, Lirtsoinoi, Lifnei Hashem. You should bring it voluntarily in front of Hashem. So the Gemara says, Yakriv Oisoi, Melamed Shekoifin Oisoi, that we are required to force him. The Gemara asks, if we force him, Yochel Bal Korcho, I would have thought that you could bring forcibly a korban, that if somebody promised a donation, a sacrifice to Hashem, you could force him to give, even against his will. Talmud Loimel Ritzoinoi, it's written that has to be voluntarily. So we have a contradiction. One pasuk says that we have to make sure that he brings the sacrifice that he promised. The other pasuk says that we could only bring it voluntarily. So the Gemara answers, Melamed, it teaches you, Shekoifin Oisoi, that we force him, At Sheyoy Meroitziani, until he says, I want. In other words, that we beat him up, we force him until he says, I want. Therefore, his statement that he wants is considered voluntarily. The Rambam asks a question, how can we say that when he says, I want, it is voluntarily, just because he made the statement that he wants? He only says the statement that he wants because we are beating him up, because we are forcing him to say that. But we could see that he really does not want, because he only is saying it after he gets a beating, after we forcibly make him say that. The Rambam answers that inherent in every Jew is the pintalaid, is the dot of a Jewishness, that deep down every Jewish soul wants to do the right thing. He wants to serve Hashem with all his might. But what prevents him? The Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, prevents him from doing the right thing. Therefore, if he promised that he's going to bring a sacrifice, he really wants to bring a sacrifice. But his evil inclination is getting the best of him, that now he doesn't want to. Therefore, we beat him up until his evil inclination becomes subdued, and we are able to bring down his deep will to do the will of Hashem. And when he says that he is willing, even though it is through duress, through beating, nonetheless, that is his true will. Therefore, even though he did it under duress, we are sure that this is his true will. Therefore, his will has been done, and the korban is a kosher sacrifice. And that's what the Maral uses to tell you why bad thoughts for a Jew does not count and bad thoughts for a non-Jew counts. And he explains, since a Jew, deep down, he wants to do the right thing, he never wants to transgress the will of Hashem, so his superficial thought of doing the wrong thing does not supersede his deep thought of always serving Hashem and doing the right thing in the eyes of Hashem. Again, by a Jew, since his machshava pninis, his inner thought, is to serve Hashem, then his machshava chitzoinis, his outer thought to transgress, does not supersede his inner thought of serving Hashem. Therefore, Hashem does not punish by thought alone, only if he does the action, that is when Hashem punishes, because an action supersedes the thought. But by a Gentile, since he doesn't have the inherent will to serve God, he doesn't have the pintelayid, therefore, by a Gentile, his outside thought, his machshava chitzoinis, is what counts. Therefore, if he intends to do a sin against God, that in itself is already counted against him, because there is no conflict within him to serve God or not to serve God. He doesn't have the inherent intention to serve God. Sefer Lekutei Yehuda from the Imre Emes brings that what it means to say that Lavan tried to destroy my father doesn't mean the physical children of Yaakov. It means the spiritual children of Yaakov. Because on chapter 31 of Bereishis, Pasuk number 43, Lavan tells Yaakov, Habonois benoisai, the daughters are my daughters, Vabonim bonai, and the children are my children, which according to the Imre Emes, Lavan's intention was to make Jews and non-Jews mix together, and like that he will be able to destroy the Jewish people. That Lavan didn't want to kill physically Yaakov, he wanted to kill spiritually Yaakov. And according to this interpretation, it answers another question. The question Mefarshim ask is according to Rashi's first interpretation, that Lavan tried to destroy everything. It's written afterwards by Yered Mitzrayimo that he went down to Egypt. What's the connection between Arami Oved Avi and Vayered Mitzrayimo that he went down to Egypt? According to Rashi, we must say that we are just reminding places that Hashem protected us. There's really no connection between Mitzrayim and Lavan. But according to the Imre Emes, we could say that during the days of Yosef, when there was a famine in the land and Egypt had food, the Medrash says that the land of Ishmael, the land of Edom and Eretz Canaan had a famine. But Aram did not have a famine. In other words, Bavel, where Lavan was, there was no famine. Then the question is, how come Yaakov did not go to his father-in-law when there was a famine? Why did he go down to Egypt to buy food? Why didn't he just go to his father-in-law and stay with his father-in-law until the famine subsides? The answer is because Arami Oved Avi. Because since Yaakov realized that Lavan's intent was to uproot the Jewish people, that he wanted to make the Jewish people assimilate, and like that he would uproot everybody, therefore Yaakov had no choice when the famine came. He had to go down to Egypt in order to make sure that his Jewishness is not subject to the temptations and the calculations of Lavan. Sefer Tamed the Cross says that it's written in Sefer Ayashar that after Lavan separated himself from Yaakov, he quickly sent messengers to Esav that Esav should go attack Yaakov and kill Yaakov. Lavan knew about the hatred between Esav and Yaakov because of the blessings. Lavan quickly told Esav to go kill Yaakov. And Medrash HaGadol explains, why didn't Esav kill Yaakov? Medrash HaGadol explains that the reason is that Esav knew that there was a decree from Hashem, Ger Yezaracho Be'eretz Lo Elohem, that the children of Avram and Yitzchak are going to be enslaved for years, and only after that they'll get the land of Israel. Esav was afraid that if he goes and kills Yaakov, he is going to have to pay this debt. He is going to have to be enslaved. Therefore, Medrash HaGadol says that Esav told his grandson Amalek that he should wait till the Jewish people go out of Egypt, and only afterwards he should come and attack and kill the Jewish people. That's why in Parshas Beshalach, Amalek comes and attacks us unprovoked, because he was fulfilling what Esav had told them, that once the Jewish people get out of Egypt, then the debt of Ger Yezaracho, or that stranger will be your children in land that's not there, they'll be enslaved for 400 years, it's not going to happen because it already happened, then you could kill Yaakov's children and inherit the land of Israel. And that, says Sefer Tamad Akra, is the connection between Arami Oved Avi and Vayered Mitzrayim and went down to Egypt. Meaning that as soon as Yaakov separated from Lavan, then Arami Oved Avi, Lavan tried to kill Yaakov. Meaning not directly, by telling Esav to kill Yaakov. But Esav wouldn't do it. Why? Because Vayered Mitzrayim, because Esav wanted to make sure that Yaakov is the one that goes down to Egypt and not Esav. And we are grateful for Hashem that even though these people plotted against us, still Hashem saved us from their clutches. The Alshach explains that what's referring here, Arami Oved Avi, the Aramean tried to destroy my father and it caused them to go down to Egypt, is referring to the switch that Lavan Arami did to Yaakov. Meaning that on Parshas Vayetze, Bereshis, chapter 29, Pasuk 23, where Lavan switched the wife of Yaakov, which was supposed to be Rachel, he switched it to Leah, that switch is what caused us to go down to Egypt. Meaning, had Yaakov married Rachel, and had Rachel had Yosef as a child, then there wasn't going to be any arguments from the other children why Yaakov shows greater love to Yosef, because Yosef was going to be either the son of the first wife or the firstborn son was going to be the Bechor. But from the fact that Yaakov had his wife switched and he first married Leah and then he had Reuven and the other children, and then Yosef was born, and Yosef was neither a firstborn nor the son of the first wife, then Yaakov shouldn't have shown favoritism to Yosef. And because Yaakov showed favoritism to Yosef, that caused jealousy against Yosef from the brothers. And because of that jealousy between the brothers, eventually they wanted to kill him, and eventually Yosef was sold to Egypt. And because Yosef was sold to Egypt, eventually Yaakov and the rest of the brothers came to join them, and that was the beginning of the enslavement of the Jews in Egypt. Comes out that all that happened to the Jewish people in Egypt is a direct consequence of the switch between Rachel and Leah. That had they not switched Rachel to Leah, then there wasn't going to be jealousy between the brothers, and because of that jealousy, it caused us to go down to Egypt. And that's what it means. Arami Oved Avi. Arami caused my father to be lost, meaning that he was able to fool my father that he was lost, that he didn't know which wife he married. And because of that, Vayered Mitzrayim, we ended up in Egypt and we ended up being slaves and the rest of the Parsha. Sefer Shari Aharon brings from Rabbi Ephraim that according to this, we understand why is it written Arami, because the letters Arami is the letters Remoi. Remoi means somebody who cheats, somebody who does things underhanded. And since it's alluding to the switch that Lavan did from Rachel to Leah, then it was deceitful, which means Remoi. Therefore, it's written Arami, which are the letters Remoi, which means somebody who cheats, somebody who is deceitful. Sefer Emes Yaakov from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky adds that according to this Alshech, we could understand why it doesn't say Lavan or Arami, why it says Arami. And he explains that the Pasuk wants to emphasize that you shouldn't think that only Lavan was a bad apple in that place, but everybody there was righteous. The Torah wants to say that all of Arami Oivet Avi, that all the people in Aram were the ones that were involved in the plot against Yaakov, in the plot of the switch. And he explains that if you take a look when Yaakov came to town on Bereshis chapter 29, Pasuk number 4, he tells them, Vayomer lahem Yaakov, Achai, my brothers, Me'ayin Atem, where are you from? You see clearly that Yaakov acted with the people of Aram in a spirit of brotherhood, that he was their friend. But when it came time for the wedding, according to the Medrash Rabbah on Bereshis, Parsha Ayin, Os Yutes, the Medrash says there, Lavan gathered everybody in town before the wedding between Yaakov and supposedly Rachel, and he told them, we all know that before Yaakov came, we had a big problem with water. So much so that we had to put a big stone on top of the well in order that nobody should steal water. And since the Tzaddik Yaakov came, the waters have been blessed and there's plenty of water for everybody. Everybody agreed that is so. Lavan continues and says, now that Yaakov is going to marry Rachel, he's going to take his wife and he's going to go in his own way, and we are going to have the problem with the water again. Lavan tells the people in town that I have a great plan to maintain them here. I will switch my daughters. I will give Yaakov Leah and not give Rachel. Like that, we'll ensure that Yaakov will remain here another 7 years. And everybody agreed to that plot. Lavan was afraid that they are going to negate, they are going to tell Yaakov what happened. Lavan asked that everybody gives them a collateral to guarantee that nobody will disclose. And nobody did disclose. Everybody cared only about their self-interest and they did not disclose to Yaakov. And according to Targum Yonison ben Uziel, quite opposite. When Lavan gathered everybody, Targum Yonison ben Uziel says that the people in town are the ones that gave the advice to Lavan to do this in order to ensure that Yaakov will remain there another 7 years. And Lavan agreed. Then Sefer Emes LeYaakov says, according to this, we understand why it's written Arami Oivet Avi, because the plot to switch the wives wasn't only from Lavan, was from the whole town of Aram. Therefore, Arami, all the people of Aram, not only Lavan, are the ones that caused my father to be lost and caused them to go down of Egypt. They were all conspirators in the same idea that caused us to go down to Egypt. Sefer Gerish Karmel brings from the Ravid Azov that this is referring all the way back to Parshas Chayesara, Bereshis, chapter 24, Pasuk number 33, where Eliezer, the slave of Avram, is charged with finding a wife for Yitzchak. And Avram tells him to go to Aram, and eventually he finds Rivka. And now Eliezer is talking to Rivka's family, to Bethuel and Lavan, about taking Rivka with him. And there it's written, Vayisom lefonav lechol, it was given to him to eat. Vayomar, he says, Lo yuchal ad im dibarti devoroi, I will not eat until I finish saying what I need to say. Targum Yonison ben Uziel says that they put poison in Eliezer's food, that Lavan and Bethuel wanted to kill Eliezer as soon as they saw the wealth that Eliezer brought, and they wanted to take his wealth, and Eliezer realized that there was poison in his food. Therefore, Eliezer planned to stall, and Eliezer said, "I can't eat until I finish speaking." And meanwhile, an angel came and switched his plate of food to the plate of food of Bethuel. Therefore, after the story, we don't see Bethuel in the picture anymore. It's written there in Pasuk 55 that her brother and her mother spoke. Bethuel is not there anymore because, according to Targum Yonison Ben Uziel, he ate the food and he died. So Sefer Geresh Karmel explains that had Lavan and Bethuel been successful, they would have caused a prohibition of Yitzchak marrying anybody. Why? Because the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Dalet, Omed Aleph, brings down Omar Rabitzchak. Rabitzchak says, Oimer li shluchoy, tzei v'kadosh li isha stam. Somebody tells his messenger, please go and betroth me any woman. Umes shluchoy, and the shliach died. And we don't know if the shliach, if the messenger engaged a woman to you or he didn't. And we don't know which woman he engaged to you. Then the halacha is, Asur b'chol ha'nashim sheba'olam, he is not allowed to marry any woman in this world, because chazaka shliach oisa shlichusoi, we have a presumption that the messenger fulfilled his directive. Therefore, since you don't know who was the woman that he betrothed, it could be betrothed an older woman, it could be betrothed a younger woman. Therefore, any woman you want to marry, it could be it's the sister of the woman that you became engaged to, which is forbidden. It could be it's the mother of the woman that he engaged, or the daughter that he engaged. Therefore, the person that sent the messenger to engage a woman for him is forbidden to marry anybody. In the same situation here, since Avraham Avinu sent Eliezer to engage a woman for Yitzchak, had Eliezer not come back, then we assume Eliezer engaged somebody to Yitzchak, and since we don't know who that woman is, then Yitzchak would have been forbidden to marry any woman of the world. Comes out, had Lavan and Bethuel been successful in poisoning Eliezer, then they would have automatically caused that Yitzchak could not marry anybody. If that would have happened, then there wasn't going to be any Yaakov. Therefore, Arami, Oivet Avi, Lavan Arami tried to destroy my father. The Beis Yisrael asks a question that you cannot compare both cases. In the case there, the Gemara says that only if you say to your messenger, marry any woman, then you are forbidden to marry any woman of the world. But in our case, Avraham Avinu did not say to Eliezer, engage any woman for Yitzchak. He was very specific and he said, I want you to engage a woman from Yitzchak, from the place where I came from. And he says specifically that in no case I want you to get a woman from the people that I'm dwelling amongst, meaning that I don't want you to get a Canaanite woman. As it's written on chapter 24, Pasuk number 3, Loisikach isha livni mibnois aknani asher anoichi yoishev bekirboi. You should not take a woman from my son, from the Canaanite daughters that I dwell amongst them. In this case, asks the Beis Yisrael, if Eliezer does not come back, since the shliach, since the messenger could not get a woman from Canaan, Yitzchak could have married a woman from Canaan. Then how come you say, Arami oivet avi, that Arami tried to destroy my father, meaning that mean he tried to cause you not to have any wives? It's not true. You could still get a woman from Canaan. The Beis Yisrael answers that this is exactly the meaning of Arami Oivet Ovi, that Arami wanted to make my father being lost. It doesn't mean that he wanted to make my father lose physicality, that lose his children. Lavan knew that Yitzchak could marry a girl from Canaan. But by Yitzchak marrying a girl from Canaan, that itself caused him to be lost spiritually. Because Avraham Avinu prohibited Eliezer from getting a woman from Canaan. Why did he prohibit Eliezer to get a woman from Canaan? Because he knew that the Canaanites are so corrupted, they're so spiritually lacking, that anybody who marries them or any children that grows up amongst them will eventually be corrupt. And like that, Avraham Avinu will lose automatically his lineage because they won't be serving Hashem and they'll be spiritually corrupted. Therefore, the Beis Yisrael says, if Yitzchak would have married a Canaanite woman, his children would have been corrupt and Avraham Avinu's lineage would have been lost. Therefore, Arami Oyvet Avi means Lavan Arami tried to spiritually make my father lost, that by him killing Eliezer and causing my father to marry a Canaanite woman, his lineage and children would have been spiritually lost. Medrash Tanhuma on Bereishis, Parshas Vayetze, Simen Yud Gimel, says that Arami Oyved Avi, that Aramean tried to destroy my father, is referring to Bilam, and he says that Bilam and Lavan are the same person. The Medrash says that on Bamidbar, chapter 22, Pasuk number 25, where the donkey sees the angel that is coming to kill Bilam, because Bilam is going to curse the Jewish people, and the donkey crushes Bilam's leg against the wall, the Medrash Tanhuma is trying to explain how come Bilam was punished by the donkey crushing his leg. The Medrash Tanhuma explains, because Bilam transgressed the promise he made to Yaakov Avinu. The Medrash takes for granted that Bilam is Lavan, and in Parshas Vayetze, there, on Pasuk number 52, Lavan and Yaakov make a covenant over a mound of stones, and the Pasuk says, Eid Hagala Zeh, that the witness of this mound, Eid HaMatzeva Zeh, and the witness of this altar will be if we transgress anything bad to one another. And the Medrash continues, Ubilam Zeh Lavan, and Bilam is Lavan, Shenemar Arami Oyved Avi, because written Aramean destroyed my father. And why is it called that he destroyed my father? Val Shebikesh Lechalos Yisrael Nikro Arami, because he wanted to destroy the Jewish people, he is called Arami. Shenemar Ulecha Zoamo Yisrael, let me go and curse the Jewish people. Meaning, since Bilam knew exactly the time that Hashem gets angry, and he knew that if he curses the Jewish people at that time, then the Jewish people will be finished. And Hashem did a kindness that he did not get angry at that time. But nonetheless, Bilam had intention to kill and destroy the Jewish people via his curse, by cursing the Jewish people. Therefore, it's called Arami Oyved Avi, that Aramean tried to destroy my father, because he transgressed the promise that he made on the mount, Lekach Nifra Hakir Mimenu. Therefore, the mount, which is a wall made of a pile of stones, punished him and crushed his leg. Why? Lefi Shehu O'ed Alashvua, because the mount was the witness on the swearing that Lavan did. In other words, Bilam, which is Lavan, they swore that they're not going to hurt the Jewish people. Therefore, the mount punished them. Kedechsiv, like it's written on Parshas Shoftim, regarding the punishment where you have to give to a person that commits idolatry, it's written there on chapter 17, Pasuk number 7, Yado Edim Tia Boibari Shoinal Hamisoi, that the hand of the witnesses should be upon him first to put him to death, which means that the witnesses always have to punish first. And since here the mount was the witness, the mount punished Bilam first. The mount crushed Bilam's leg. We see clearly from here that the Medrash held that Bilam and Lavan are the same person, and Arami Oivet Ovi Aramian tried to destroy my father is referring to Bilam's curse on the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, in the beginning of Parshas Balak, chapter 22, Pasuk number 5, there where the Pasuk says that Balak sent messengers to Bilam, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel changes and says that Balak sent messengers to Lavan Arami, which is Bilam. Also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kof Hei, Omed Aleph 105a, says the same thing, that Bilam and Lavan are the same person. And the Yad Yosef explains that this is involving the secret of reincarnations of Gilgulim, because otherwise we cannot understand. In lieu of the Gemara in Sanhedrin 106b, where the Gemara there says that Bilam died at the age of 32, then he couldn't be Lavan, because Lavan was many generations before Bilam. Therefore, we have to say that in the Sod HaGilgul, in the Sod of Reincarnations, Bilam and Lavan are the same person. Therefore, when he says Arami Oivet Ovi, according to the Medrash Tanhuma, it's interchange Lavan, Arami, and Bilam. They try to destroy us by cursing us in the time of Bilam. And now that we say that Bilam and Lavan are the same person, we could say another interpretation of Arami Oivet Avi. We could say it based on the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Alev Amed Alev 11a, where there the Gemara says, Omer Rab Chiya Barabe, Omer Rab Simoe, Rab Chiya Barabe says the name Rab Simoe, Shloisha Oyu Bo Oisa Eitza, there were three persons involved in offering the counsel to Paroi to kill the Jewish children, Bilam, Iuv, and Isroi. And the Gemara says, Bilam Sheyaz, Bilam that gave advice to kill, to drown the Jewish babies, Nehag was killed, Iuv Sheshasak, Iuv that became quiet, Nidom Beisurim received punishment, Isroi Shebarach, Isroi that ran away, because he said that they shouldn't do it, Zachu Mibreibanov Sheyashvu Belishchas Agaziz. His grandchildren merited to be part of the Lishchas Agaziz, which is part of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court. According to this, we see that Bilam is the one that gave the advice to drown the Jewish babies, to kill all the Jewish children. And if that would have materialized, then there wouldn't be continuity to the Jewish people. Therefore, we could say that Arami Oivet Avi, Arami tried to destroy my father, where? By Vayered Mitzrayimo, when we went down to Egypt, that's when Arami, when Lavan Arami, which is Bilam, tried to destroy us. That he's the one that gave the advice to destroy, to kill the Jewish people, the Jewish children, and if you kill the Jewish children, there is no continuity to the Jewish people, therefore it's considered Arami Oivet Avi, that Aramean, which is Bilam, tried to destroy my father. I tried in this shir to interpret Arami Oivet Avi as Rashi interpreted that it's referring to Lavan, but the Evan Ezra and the Rashbam have different interpretations, and in Yirtz Hashem, next year, we will give those interpretations. But from all these interpretations on only three words of the Torah, we could see how beautiful and vast and rich the Torah is. And my bracha is that we should continue to learn Torah, be excited about every word written in the Torah. And if we learn Torah and keep Torah, we'll merit to have Moshiach come, Beis HaMikdash rebuild, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.